Welcome to this intermediate Ableton Live 12 lesson on shaping a jungle fill with modern punch and vintage soul. In this one, we're working in the resampling zone of drum and bass production, which is one of the fastest ways to turn a good rhythmic idea into something that feels finished, musical, and ready for an arrangement. The big idea here is simple. A great jungle fill has to do two jobs at once. First, it has to keep the groove moving with that chopped, swung, sampled energy people love in classic jungle. And second, it has to hit hard enough for modern DNB, where the drums need to survive against a heavy bassline and a loud master. So we're going to build a one-bar fill that blends vintage soul and modern punch. Think dusty break texture, coast notes, little timing imperfections, but also tight transient control, clean low-end management, and enough impact to cut through the mix. Let's set ourselves up for a proper DNB workflow. Start by setting the project tempo somewhere around 170 to 174 BPM. Keep it in 4/4. Use a 1/16 grid to begin with, because we want to hear the groove clearly before we start getting more detailed. Now create four tracks. One is your break track, one is your drum reinforcement track, one is your resample track, which will capture the groove as audio, and one is your fill arrangement track, where the final audio fill will live in the song. And a quick teacher note here, name your tracks clearly. When you're resampling, you want to move fast and stay organized. Clarity saves you from getting lost in the process. On the break track, load a classic break into simpler. You want something with character. Amen style breaks are always a strong option, but any dusty funk break, old breakbeat loop, or sample pack break can work. Set simpler to slice mode, and use transient slicing so you can trigger the slices with MIDI. We're not trying to preserve the whole loop exactly as it came in. We want pieces we can reshape. Listen for a strong snare, a short kick, a couple of ghost notes, and maybe one or two little busy fragments that give the break its shuffle. If the source is a little muddy, that's okay. We'll clean and focus it later. Now create a one-bar MIDI clip. This is where the fill starts to take shape. A useful jungle fill structure is to place a kick and break fragment on beat 1, then a ghost hit or shuffled slice a little later, then a snare accent on beat 2, maybe the quick fill hit or reverse slice near beat 2 and 4, then another kick-snare combo around beat 3, and finally a faster roll or stuttered ending into beat 4. The important thing is not to overfill every subdivision. Jungle energy does not mean constant noise. In fact, some of the strongest fills get their power from space. Leave pockets, especially near the downbeat, so the listener feels the drop coming. Use slow velocity on some notes. Nudge a few hits slightly early or late. That little push and pull gives the fill personality. Don't overquantize everything. A bit of looseness is part of the soul. Now let's reinforce the break with modern drum weight. On your drum reinforcement track, layer a tight kick and a clean snare. You can add a top click or a rim if you want more definition. This layer is there to support the break, not replace it. A solid stock chain here is drum rack into a Q8, then drum bus, then saturator. With a Q8, high pass around 30 to 40 Hz if needed, cut some boxy mud around 200 to 400 Hz, and if the snare feels dull, add a little presence around 2 to 5 Khz. With drum bus, keep the drive moderate, use crunch lightly, and use boom sparingly. In DNB, tight is usually better than huge. If you need extra snap, push the transients a little. With saturator, turn on soft clip and add a few dB of drive if needed. Just be careful not to flatten the snare so much that it loses its edge. This is a good point to remember. The modern layer should support the break's identity. We are blending old and new, not erasing the old school character. Now let's make the fill feel alive with micro edits. Duplicate a snare hit to create a flam. Move a ghost note a few milliseconds ahead. Shorten the last 1/16 note into a stutter. Try a reverse slice leading into the snare. These little moves create tension and movement without needing a huge number of notes. You can also use Ableton's audio tools later, like reverse on clips, consolidate to combine ideas into a single clip, and warp markers to tighten timing once the sound is printed. This is where the vibe starts to shift from programmed to performed. A jungle fill often works because it feels slightly unpredictable, but still controlled. Now comes the core move, resampling. Create your resample track and set audio from to resampling. Arm it, then play your groove and record one or two bars. What you're capturing here is more than just notes. You're capturing the break texture, the layering, the saturation, the groove timing, and any intentional looseness in the performance. Once it's audio, you can work with it in a much more direct way. That's why resampling is so powerful. It lets you stop thinking like a MIDI programmer and start thinking like a producer shaping an actual piece of sound. Now take that recorded audio and start editing it. Slice out the strongest moments. Keep the best one bar or half bar phrase. Remove anything that clutters the downbeat. If the clip is mostly percussive, use beat swap mode and preserve the transients. If there's more smeared texture, you can try Complex Pro, but don't overwarp drum hits unless you really need to. A big teacher note here, watch the snare envelope. In this style, the snare is often the anchor. If the snare loses its edge, the whole fill can feel smaller even if the audio is louder. Now process the resampled fill for punch and soul. A good final chain is EQ8, drum bus, glue compressor, saturator, and utility. Use EQ8 to clear out sub-rumble below about 30 to 35 Hz, shave some mud around 250 to 350 Hz if needed, and add a little presence around 3 to 6 kHz if the fill needs more bite. Then drum bus for a touch of drive and transient shaping. Keep boom subtle or off. You want impact, not a huge low-end bloom that fights the bass line. Add glue compressor with a moderate ratio, a slower attack if you want the punch to come through, and just a little gain reduction, maybe 1 to 3 dB. The goal is glue, not squash. Then use saturator gently with soft clip or analog clip, just enough to make everything feel a little more finished and connected. Finally, use utility to manage width. Keep the low end centered and only widen the top texture if necessary. That keeps the fill focused and prevents it from smearing the mix. Now let's think like arrangers. A fill only matters if it lands in the right place. In drum and bass, this usually means the last bar before the drop, the last half bar before a bass switch, or as a turnaround after a repeating drum loop. One strong arrangement idea is to let the track roll for several bars, then thin things out, then bring in the fill, then let the drop slam in. You can automate a low-pass filter opening, add reverb only to the last hit, and briefly reduce the bass volume during the fill so the transition feels bigger. Here's another useful trick. Leave a pocket for the downbeat. Sometimes the best move is not more notes, but a tiny gap right before the drop. That little silence can make the next beat feel massive. Automation is what makes the fill feel intentional. Try automating filter cutoff, reverb send, saturator drive, drum bus transients, utility volume, or auto filter resonance. A great transition move is to automate a high-pass filter upward across the break, then pull it back right before the downbeat. That rising tension and sudden release feels very modern and very effective. Now let's cover a few common mistakes. First, don't overload the fill with too many hits. If every 16th note is occupied, the shape disappears. Second, don't let the low end get muddy. If your break already has kick rumble and you layer another kick on top, the mix can fall apart quickly. Third, don't overwarp drum transients. That can blur the punch. Fourth, don't crush the fill so hard that it loses attitude. Moderate compression usually works better than overprocessing. And fifth, make sure the fill creates contrast into the drop. If it starts at full intensity right away, there's nowhere for the tension to go. If you want a darker or heavier DNB vibe, use darker source breaks with less cymbal wash and a stronger mid-range snare. Add grit with controlled distortion, like a little saturator, pedal, or very subtle redux. Keep the sub disciplined. In darker styles, the bass line owns the sub, so the fill should usually stay out of the way below about 80 Hz. You can also use parallel processing. Send the fill to a return track with drum bus, a short echo, a filter, and a touch of distortion. Blend it in quietly for size without losing clarity. For practice, try building three different one-bar fills from the same break. Make one classic and chopped, with swing-heavy ghost notes and dusty texture. Make one modern and punchy, with stronger kick and snare support and tighter timing. And make one dark transition fill, with a reverse slice, filtered break, snare flam, and a short reverb tail into the drop. This is a really useful exercise because it teaches you that one source can become multiple kinds of energy, depending on how you shape and place it. So to recap, build your fill from a break-based rhythmic idea, reinforce it with modern drum punch, resample it so you can sculpt the best moments, process it with EQ, drum bus, compression, and saturation, and arrange it so it creates tension before the drop. The real magic is in the balance. You want enough chaos for soul, but enough control for modern polish. The best jungle fills feel like they were played by a drummer, designed by a sound engineer, and placed by a producer with good taste. All right, that's the move. In the next step, take this method and make three versions from one break, then compare which one feels the most alive in context.